If you take your Bibles, go to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I wanted to sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home," because I really wanted to share about that from God's Word. I was thinking, there was a time I worked at this job. It was very pressurized, and I got a new job. And the last week of working at that old job, I have to say, I could care less what people were talking about, what they were going to do in the cafeteria. I could care less about the reorganization that was happening at my old job. I couldn't care that my boss was also leaving. I didn't care about all the things that were happening in the building. You know why? I was out of there. I was also thinking about if you're visiting in a different country, you know, let's say you go to a different country. You in the country, you're there, you're reading the newspaper. Do you really care that there's going to be a new governor? Do you really care about the issues that they're having? Well, frankly, it's not your country. You know that you're going home soon. And where you live, the rights and the privileges you have there, you don't care if they're going to be raising the taxes in that country, because you don't live there, even though you're visiting. Well, like we sang in that song, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just passing through this world. So all of the kinds of things that are happening out there in the world, we don't really have to be as concerned about it. I took a look a couple of years ago. I forget what I was looking for this, but I read about an ambassador. I looked him up online, and I wanted to read you a little bit about this ambassador. He was an ambassador to Italy, and his name is David Thorne. You can look him up yourself if you're so inclined. But let me read you a little bit about David Thorne, okay? David Thorne was sworn in as a U.S. ambassador to Italy, to the Republic of San Marino, that's in Italy, on August 17th, 2009. I think he was there till about 2014. Ambassador Thorne had a lifelong personal connection to Italy. He moved with his family to Rome in 1953, which when his father, Landon Thorne Jr., anyone know him? No? Okay, well, anyway. When he was President Eisenhower's, when he was appointed by President Eisenhower to administer martial law for Italy. So this guy, David, grew up in Rome, learning fluent Italian, nurturing a deep appreciation for the knowledge of Italy's culture and politics and society, okay? He wasn't from Italy, but he grew up there. So he learned about the society. He liked the culture. On a personal sports note, during his years in Italy, Ambassador Thorne could not escape the infection of soccer mania, you know, football. As long as they are not competing against the U.S. team, he remained an Italian team tifoso during European and World Cup play. And finally, David is married to Rose Thorne, and they have two children. All right, feel like you know Dave? So here's this guy. He was appointed. By the way, he lives back here in the United States. He's still alive. But he's a citizen of the United States. And this guy, Dave, he was in Italy. But he was an ambassador to Italy. So he was there not as a citizen of Italy, but as an ambassador from the United States to Italy. He probably wore Italian shoes. He drank Italian espresso. He spoke Italian. But he was an American on foreign soil. And so his allegiances were to his country, the United States of America. But in Italy, the having the rights and privileges of a U.S. citizen, he was an ambassador representing the United States to them. Well, the Bible says that we are citizens of heaven. I sang that song because we live here in the United States, and we live among the world, we eat stuff, we buy things, we might enjoy things on the television. You know, you might like coffee at a certain place, but we're citizens of somewhere else. We're just visiting. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for our conversation, the word conversation is the word in the Greek that we would translate typically citizenship. So let's read it that way. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're here on this earth as foreign citizens. When we got the citizenship of heaven, we had the rights and privileges of our home country, of heaven. And the rights and privileges from God that we have are very special. And we're protected by those rights and privileges. And we have the protection of God. You know, I think of it as the citizen of being a citizen of heaven. Like God's the president, Jesus is the governor, and we appreciate and we enjoy all the privileges we have of being from heaven, although we live here in this foreign land. If you go to Colossians, please, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You know, a couple of you kids, you're going to be moving from your old school, right, next year? So anything that's happening at that old school, you just really don't care so much about that anymore because you're going to somewhere different. You're going to a new school, aren't you, Maisie, right? You're going to go to a new school? Yeah, you are. So when you go to that new school, things are going to be different. Luke, you're going to a new school. When you go to that new school, it's going to be different. You don't belong to that old school anymore. Well, our thinking can be along those lines here as being citizens of heaven, living in a foreign land. Colossians chapter 1, and look at verse 13. Colossians 1, 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now it's talking about God. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? If you're feeling the power of darkness, this is a great verse for you to claim for yourself. God delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated. The word translated is like transferred. God transferred. This word can mean, I think it's the same word that's used when it says, you know, say to that mountain, jump in the lake, and the mountain jumps in the lake. You know, it's transferred. That's a physical transfer, but it could also be another kind of transfer. In our case, we're still living in this world, right? We still, you know, look around for a second, not too long, but look around. It's this world, right, that we're in right now. But he transferred us from the power of darkness and hath transferred us into his kingdom, into the kingdom of his dear Son. What kingdom do you belong to? The kingdom of God. You and I belong to the kingdom where God's the president, where God's rules are the rules that apply, where the rights that we have as citizens are rights of that country to which we belong. Bigger, greater than this world in which we're just a passing through, that we're just visiting. Here's one, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So, first of all, we're not of this kingdom of this world. We're visiting. We're going to be out of here someday soon. Secondly, we have the rights and privileges of the citizenship that we have, that we enjoy, because we belong to the kingdom of his dear son. And now Ephesians in chapter 2 tells us something else. Look at verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Look, I didn't make this up. You can read it right there in your own Bible, right? We're in the household of God. It's either true or it's not. Either God meant it or he didn't mean it. And I believe he meant it. And if he meant it, that means that we are in the household of God. We're not just in the country. We're not just out there somewhere in a field. We're not in the backyard. We are in the household of God. Wow. Well, that makes us pretty special. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A lot of things happen in this world. A lot of news out there. A lot of things that people are all tied up in. But let's not forget, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. We've been put into God's kingdom. And it's up to us to decide to enjoy and to claim the rights that we have as citizens of God's kingdom. You can look around, just like David and Rose Thorne, they could have acted just like Italians as much as they wanted to. But they weren't Italians. They were Americans. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know, that's not like something with tentacles coming out or stuff. Creature is the word here for creation, right? It's the word creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So there's some new things that came along because we're a new creation. A new creation. You know, Ellie shared with us that verse, Romans 10:9, that gave us a new creation. God created something in each of us. And now new things have come that come along with that creation. Look at verse 18. And all these new things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Something very, very vital in this verse. First, it says, he reconciled us to himself. He reconciled us. You know what to reconcile means? It's to bring back together, right? He brought us back together with him. God has wanted, ever since the fall of man, for humans, for people to be reconciled back to him. And we are. The word of God says, because of that creation that's in us, we are reconciled back to God. Namely, to it, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Everybody thinks that God's up there looking to judge everybody. Oh, you did something wrong. Oh, I saw that. But it says not. He's not counting up all the trespasses against them. It says, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. The only way for people to get reconciled back to God is by knowing what his word of reconciliation says. Now we know about God. then we know how we can be reconciled back to him. And then look at what it says in verse 20. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. Forget Italy. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, an ambassador has to think like an ambassador. You know, it would be wrong for an ambassador in a country to follow everything of that country because that ambassador is not from that country. Do you see that? And even though that ambassador might have rights from the country from which he comes, if he doesn't claim those rights, he doesn't look any different from anybody else in that country. David and Rose could have just been mistaken for any other Italian, but we know they weren't Italian. We know that they came from America. Let's go to Philippians, please. Back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. So, fellow citizens of heaven, look, we live in this world, right? It's up to us to accept as much of this world as we want. And we're going to see from God's word that the things of God are so much more precious, so much more powerful, so much more kind and loving than the things of this world. And the rights that we can enjoy as being citizens of heaven, citizens of God's kingdom, are so much greater than the rights of the things of this world. But we also are ambassadors to this world. We are also here in this world to allow others to get reconciled back to God. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13, Philippians 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you. Look, again, this is what the word of God says. I didn't make this up. It says, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. See, we are in a pretty dark place. There's a lot of evil going around. There's a lot of judgment out there. There's sicknesses, and there's people that try to hurt people. That's part of this world. And we all know it's even deeper than that. This world is run by spirits, by devil spirits. And that's why people are the way they are. Yep, there's a devil. And all of the evil is due to the devil. God is all good. The devil is not. So we live here in this world. It's a crooked and perverse nation. But look at what it says next in verse 15. Among whom you shine as lights in this world. While we're here, we are lights in this world. It's a dark place, but we are luminaries in this dark place. We are those lights. People are looking for some kind of positives in the world. Well, you and me are those positives in this world. The Bible says we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But it says that we're luminaries. We are lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. And that's why we want to put this word of God in our minds. We want to know our rights, our privileges. So in this world, in this nation in which we live, this whole world, we are able to shine as lights. We're able to give people that word of reconciliation so they also can enjoy the fruits of being citizens of heaven. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What a transition. What an amazing thing for us to have come from being part of the darkness of this world and in a moment of time to move from that, just with that verse that Ellie shared with us, to move from that into being in the kingdom of God, having rights and privileges of the kingdom of God. You know, if you belong to a country club, you can enjoy the rights and privileges that you have as a member of that country club. People who are not part of that country club, they can't enjoy those rights and privileges, but you can. Or you can decide to just stand outside and look and act just like everybody else who doesn't have rights and privileges of that country club. It's up to us as being in God's kingdom, how do we want to live? Do we want to live according to the laws and the rules of this kingdom? Or do we want to live according to the rules of the kingdom from which we now belong, God's kingdom? I told you Timothy, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Timothy is a leader, and here by revelation, the Apostle Paul writes to him. And look at what he says here in chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth, so here it's, you know, a war picture here, right? Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If you're a soldier, you're not going to be all entangled with the affairs of this life. You have a job to do. You have a job to do as a soldier. So you discipline your mind, you discipline your body, you set yourself to serve the country that you represent. Well, he says, they please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Every believer may not decide to serve God. They may just decide to live life according to this world. But those of us who want to, we can discipline our own selves by going according to God's word and disentangle ourselves from this world. This word here that says entangleth, that word is a word that means to interweave. Another way it would be is a braid. You know what a braid is, right? Anybody have a braid today? Lucy, do you have a braid? Let me see. No braid. No, yeah, no braid. Okay. Well, a braid. You know what a braid is, right? Okay, so there's these three things, and you pull this one, and then this one, and then this one, and it's all entangled in there. It's all entangled in there. If you wanted to pull one of those strands out of that braid, not so easy. Not so easy, because it's all braided in with everything else. It's enmeshed in there. Well, the Word of God says here that this man that wars doesn't embroil himself, doesn't get embraided, doesn't get enmeshed with the things of the world, the affairs of this life. The word affairs is a word we could just call business. You don't have to get yourself entangled in the business of this life. Look, we live in this world. We have things we have to do. Obviously, we have responsibilities in life. Let's go to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. So in Timothy, he said, look, he said, don't get embraided into the things, the affairs of this life. You who's chosen to serve. Colossians 3 tells us what we should do. Rather than getting entangled with the affairs of this life, look at chapter 3 and verse 1. If or since you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? I can't hear you, but I saw that you said it. Okay, seek those things which are where? Above. Seek those things which, what is above? You mean like the clouds? No, it's put for what? It's put for where we belong in heaven, the citizenship to which we belong, those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where does Christ sit on the right hand of God? In Czechoslovakia? Wait, that doesn't exist anymore, right? Czech Republic? No. The right hand of God, heaven. That's where our citizenship is. So should we do what? Seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand. Not entangled with the affairs of this life, but seek the things which are above. You know, this ambassador Thorn and Rose, Dave and Rose, you know, I feel like I know them now. Dave and Rose, you know, they could have been hanging out in the Cafe Titano there in Italy. They could have been hanging out there sipping their coffee. But Dave knows that he's an ambassador. And even though he's enjoying the coffee and having a croissant there in that cafe, Dave knows he's an ambassador. He knows that he is representing another country. For us too, guys, I know we're out there. So we might go to Whole Foods and a Kroger and to, you know, the, what's that one I like the name of? Piggly Wiggly, to the Piggly Wiggly, you know? Or you might enjoy going out to your favorite restaurant. But you're not part of this world. Even though we might enjoy it, you might like to have a nice steak or a taco, you're not of this world. Don't forget who you represent. We are part of God. We are part of his kingdom. That's where we belong. Acts chapter 19, please. Acts chapter 19. I'd like to go to Cafe Titano in San Marino in Italy. That'd be fun. But I'm not of Italy. I'm also not of Atlanta, Georgia. I am of my Father, which is in heaven. Where did I say? Acts. Acts 19. Now, isn't that a refreshing way to think? And it's not just good words. This is the truth of God's word. So Acts chapter 19 is, for some of us, a really, really wonderful chapter in the Bible, because it talks about how the word of God prevailed. And I want to read a few verses here that just before where it says that the word of God prevailed. Here are these people who had gotten into God's word. They were of the world, and they got born again of God's Spirit. Yet they still had a lot of the things of the world. They still had a lot of the thinking of the world. We're going to pick it up in verse 18. Acts 19 and verse 18. and it says, and then verse 18 says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. In other words, they came here with the believers. Unfortunately, we don't have time to read this whole record. But they got together with the believers, it said, and they showed what they were about. You know, this one guy says, well, you know, I was kind of into witchcraft. Another guy said, well, it's kind of strung out on crack cocaine. Well, I was kind of into the stock market. Well, I was, you know, they came and confessed. They showed their deeds. Verse 19, many of them also, which use curious arts, you know, that's like the black arts, the all those little devil things, you know, hooky pook stuff. They brought their books together and burned them before all and counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. I'm sure that means that it was a lot of money back then. 50,000 pieces of silver. These people had their precious books that they used to be into. They had their special little things that they worship that were probably beautifully made out of gold and platinum and beryllium. I'm not sure what that is, but anyway, it's not good. But anyway, those things that they were probably beautifully made, but they threw them into the fire. They said, you know what? Our lives are not about this anymore. And then what does it say happened in the next verse? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. that word of God prevailed because people started to lose the things of the world that they were embroiled in, that they were embraided in, enmeshed in. And they started to free themselves of those things so that they could start walking as citizens of heaven. Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. We live in the world. And you know what? Everything that's good in this world is good because God made it. But the currents of the world, the politics of the world, you as a citizen of heaven can choose to get all stuck in all of that. And we could spend our time discussing this candidate and that candidate and this issue, and they should have done something about this, and the road is broken, and I can't stand this, and all these things. Or we could realize that we're just a passing through. And if we're just a passing through, guys, it's really not as important, is it? Our dog is snoring over here. But we're just passing through. We're just passing through. So let's not get all super excited or super upset about all the things of this world. And how about if we start thinking about the rights and privileges we have as citizens of heaven? Well, in Matthew 11 is something that Jesus Christ was speaking to the believers there. And he says, come unto me in verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, if there's somebody that we want to get braided in with, I think the Lord Jesus Christ would be a good one. If there's someone you want to get entangled with, how about the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, but he says, my burden is easy. He says, and you guys that are heavy laden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The burden and the yoke of this world is not light. It's heavy. It's not easy. It's hard. It's hard in this world. Sometimes we do kind of get heavy laden and we labor a lot. But we take upon us that yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says you'll find rest. You know, if we're burdened, if we're heavy laden, we can find rest. And that great rest that we get is that rest from him. We get entangled in the affairs of this life. I can tell you, it's not a restful thing. It's a very, very anxious thing. It's a thing that causes us to get embroiled in the world and get heavy laden. But if we decide to recognize our rights as citizens of heaven, we can free ourselves and we can walk freely as lights in this world, representing him. Two other places I want to go. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Can't seem to get away from this psalm these days. Psalm 62. Sometimes I just have to keep reminding myself that I'm not of this world. And when I feel like getting upset about things of this world, I try to remind myself I don't live here. I mean, I live here, but I'm not of here. I'm an ambassador from heaven, and so are you. And we can let some of these things just pass by. Don't let them bother you, because you have rights and privileges that supersede the rights and privileges, the problems, the heavy laden stuff, the bondage of this world, because we belong to the kingdom of God. And he said that it's easy and his burden is light. And if you go, please, to 62 and look at verse 5. We're going to start in verse 5. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. It's not even from a government bailout check. My expectation is from what? Him. God has unlimited resources. Verse 6. You know, I was thinking about that, Jeffrey. You know, for you and your life, well, God's going to, he's got you. If you don't have work and everything, his word is still true. God's bank ain't busted yet. Verse 6 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. Now we can sing another song. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Sometimes we feel a little exposed in the world, but the Bible says here, what a great verse, my refuge is in God. Then it says, trust in him at all times, you people. You people, come on, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, consider this. Surely men of low degree are vanity, you know, nothing. And men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. You know, in the end times, when God does the judging, guess what? It's really found out what people are all about. And he says, this is the deal. They're going to be laid in the balance. And guess what? They're going to be like, there's nothing on that side of the thing. Nothing over here. Then it says, verse 10, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. So you know what? So you're doing good. Not too many people are doing good these days in the financial category. Some are, but whether you're doing good or not, it says here, don't set your heart on them. So maybe you lost some money in the whole, what's that thing called, the stock market game, you know? Maybe you lost some money in there. So what? God, don't set your heart upon it. Verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto whom? God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Look, I know, this life carries with it responsibilities. We live here. You know, we have to cut the grass. We do have to make some money. You have to cook. You need toilet paper. I guess you really do. You know, these things are true in this world. But set not your heart upon it. Don't set your heart on Charmin. 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter. We have toilet paper. If anybody needs some, you can have some, right? 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. That's where we're going to close. The actions and the efforts that we expend in this life, you know, honestly, they may not account to a whole lot. They may not. But the actions and the efforts that we expend for our eternal life bring us an eternal reward. As we're living as luminaries in this world, we have the privilege and the opportunity of representing God to this world. And people see us, they should be able to say, I want that. Because what you have and what I have in the freedom that we have in Christ, even though we're living in this world, enjoy as much as you want of it, but our citizenship is somewhere else, and we belong to him. So we don't have to accept all of the currents and thinking of this dark place. It blessed me to read this. It's talking about the future here in 2 Peter. But I kind of like to keep it in perspective. 2 Peter chapter 3. By the way, any work that we do in this world, in this life, if we do it in fellowship with God, we're going to be blessed. Most of the time, it doesn't even matter the actual work that we do. The thing that's important is that fellowship that we have with God, that relationship with him. Because when all of this goes away, when all of this melts with fervent heat, we're going to read about it in a second. When all that happens, we still have our citizenship in heaven. We're still seated there. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And I just want to reiterate, for some of you, you may not realize, the day of the Lord is not something that's going to overcome us as a thief in the night, because before that day of the Lord, you and I, who are born again of God's Spirit, we're already out of here. We've already been gathered. So just keep it straight. Don't worry. Don't look around at the sign saying, uh-oh, this is the end times and something bad's going to happen. Christ is coming back for us. But here it's talking about in the future. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We're in verse 10. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So all this stuff that looks so great around here right now, going to melt, going to burn up. Verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, seeing that, what manner of persons ought you to be? What a beautiful question here. Seeing that all this stuff that you might be living for at this moment, he goes, what kind of person are you going to be? He says, in holy conversation and godliness. Because look, it says in verse 12, looking for and hasting, hurrying up unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, he says, looking around at all this stuff, who are you going to be? Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So look, we're in a world here. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of evil. There's evil tidings all around us. There's some beauty out there as well. It's up to us to decide, do we want to live our lives? What kind of men do we want to be? What kind of people? Do we want to devote ourselves to here, to the things of this life? Well, he says a couple of times it's going to melt with fervent heat. I just love that expression because it's all going away. But your citizenship and mine, it's in the heavenlies, and that's not going away. And the work that we do as we walk for God, disentangling ourselves from the affairs, the business of this life, we can walk very freely. Rather than being burdened down, we can be light. And in doing that, we can be luminaries in this dark world, bringing other people to Christ. What a blessing, what a privilege. You know, we're ambassadors just visiting here. We're just passing through. But our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.